I don't think we're dressed for the occasion.
Okay, question number one.
I was talking about, you know, like a robe and all that stuff.
Okay. Okay, I need someone to tell me who the square, what the square root of 12,100 is. Anybody out there know what the 12, okay, we got one over here. Let's see if he knows the answer to this.
You better know. What do you that know? Is 110.
110, is that the answer? Oh, yes, you get to come up and be part of the council. Yay, come on up here. All right. Okay, next question is, what part of speech is the word lovely? We got down here? It is a what?
Adjective.
Adjective is incorrect. It is an adverb. No, we don't get a wise person from this portion. Sorry. All right, next question. On an engine, the EGR valve stands for what? Oh, we got it back here? Okay.
Exhaust gas recirculation.
All right, is that correct? Exhaust gas recirculation. You get
to... Come on, man.
All right, next to a question is, what is the capital of Mississippi?
It's right behind you.
It's a river.
Find one. We got a few that have their hands up.
Capital of Mississippi is Jackson.
Jackson, that's true.
All right.
You want to join your mom up here? All right. Okay, now I got one more question. How many years did Adam live? Okay, is that one right here? No. Wait until the counselor finds her. Okay, we got one right here. Here, see what he...
All of them.
All of them. He lived all those years, yes. That's the correct answer. Come on up. All right, come on up. Okay, one more. I think I got one more, don't I? Yeah.
Sure, they couldn't see the tree because of the forest.
What's that?
They couldn't see the tree because of the forest.
You couldn't see the tree because of the forest. Okay. A CD-ROM stands for what?
All right, Jordan. Right.
Find one. Okay, you got Jordan out there?
Compact disc.
Okay, that's part of the answer. Someone got the full? Read-only member. Let's bring John Brobes up here. He's got it, okay? All right. Okay, all you come up on the stage here. You're going to be my counsel. And come on, I got to have my full council up here, and I will go ahead and since our first one here, you get to be the representative of the group.
Still on here? Really playing with the sound man's mind here. All right, you got me on now? All right, okay. Now that I've got my council all assembled, all you guys have to do is answer a simple question, okay? Answer the simple question. I received this question yesterday. It came to my computer. And so I need to have the answer from you guys, okay? I'm going to give you 15 seconds to answer it, all right? Okay, here we go. Answer the question. So before you answer it, you got to tell me what the question is first, okay? All right, go ahead. You got 15 seconds to tell me the question and give me the answer. All right, if you can tell me the question and answer, I'll give you a dozen donuts from Krispy Kreme, okay? It'll make it a little bit easier for you. Okay, this is for a dozen donuts, Krispy Kreme. Go ahead. You got. I'll give you 15 more seconds. Go ahead. Tell me the question and give me the answer. I forgot to tell you, if you give me the wrong answer, then you lose your life. Thank you very much. sorry, no donuts here. But you guys helped me with a very important process, because this gives you a little bit of feel of what it was like back at the time in Daniel chapter 2 when all the wise people were assembled and they were given the task of trying to answer a question that they didn't have the question. And so we'll be looking at that in Daniel chapter 2. Hopefully that'll give you a chance to think through that and bring it a little bit to more modern times for you today. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. If you have your Bibles, hope you do, turn to Daniel chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering here together. I ask, Lord, that you will use our time together and that this might indeed be a time of stimulating our mind in relationship to a very important issues of our lives, of who are we depending upon, what do we do when we come to the questions of life. Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given to us, and we ask, Lord, that you might indeed be glorified through your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. What only God knows, depending upon God for answers. Daniel chapter 2. One of the questions that Nebuchadnezzar had was this question that I think is probably a question that many individuals in our whole world may have, is, can you give me answers to my dreams? Can you provide for me answers to the life that I have, to give me the opportunity to have it to the fullest and be able to accomplish those things that I am here for? And in that, Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar and all those that were involved with that had just a little bit of different situation than what we experience and what the world around us experiences. I do believe that there's some things that are applicable to us in regard to what we depend upon for the answers to life. Who do we depend upon to give us hope in regard to those things that are going on? We're going to be spending some time in Daniel. I have a few of the verses up here. Some of them will not be up on the slide. But if you have your Bible, please follow along with Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to look at, first of all, and if you have your notes, you can look on the back of the information sheet. You can fill out some notes here. It says, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. Well, where does this come from? This comes from what we similarly did up here when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, approximately third year into the time when Daniel and his friends were there. So they're about the time when they graduated from the school of wise people. And he has this dream, and it bothers him. And he's concerned about what the answer of it is. And he calls together all the wise men and all the people who give him advice. And he says, I want the answer to it. And they're saying, all right, no problem. Give us the dream. We'll give you the answer. He says, that's not the way I'm going to do it. I've done it that way in the past, maybe, or whatever. And this time he decided, I want you to tell me what I dreamt and then give me the answer. Well, you can imagine, as you just read right here, what happened as they looked at him, and here they're talking to the king. They're talking to the one who holds their life in his hand, and they say, there's not a man on the earth that can tell the king's matter. They said, no one can do it. What you've asked, no one can do. No one can tell what went on in your head while you were sleeping last night. Then they go on to say this, as they emphasize it, and therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magicians, astrologers, or Chaldeans. Not only there's no one can do it, no one would even dare ask such a thing. Now, you can imagine what this is doing for the king at this particular time. He's already upset, and now they're telling him, basically, no. Not only are we not going to be doing it, we're not able to do it, and what you're asking is foolish. No one can answer this. Just a word of advice, not a good way to try to impress the person who's in authority over you. But they were trying to be honest, and they're trying to say, King, we cannot do that. So he has a quick response to that, as the world struggles for answers. He says, they go on to say this, excuse me, get this out of the way, and then we'll get to the other one. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. So they not only clarify that they can't do it, they said this will require supernatural answers. Now, this is very interesting, because a lot of them were kind of implying to the king that they had supernatural ability to give him wisdom and counsel. So now they're admitting this is going to require something that's beyond us. It's something outside of our realm. We can't get in contact with it. There's no access to those who have the answer of this thing. Here, the world's wisdom for the king came up short and said, there is an answer possibly, but it's not here. It's out someplace else, and you're not going to get it by taking on the world's wisdom. That sounds kind of familiar to something. The purpose of life, you're not going to get it by trying to take on the world's wisdom. You're not going to get why you were made and why you are here in this world if you are seeking to understand it from the world's wisdom. For these things are only understandable when you take on the understanding of the supernatural. And the exciting thing about this, there is access. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But there is access. Nebuchadnezzar's response were these following responses. How did he struggle for answers? First of all, in verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. And one of those situations where the dreams were so impacting his life, he couldn't get back to sleep. He was having difficulties resolving what was going through his mind while he was sleeping, and it caused him just to stay awake, wondering what this was all about. So it troubled him, and great fear came upon him. Second thing it says here is that for this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave a command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them as well, verses 12 and 13. Here we have not only the king responding in fear, goes and turns to his wise men, his counselors. They can't answer him. Now he responds in anger. The words there of angry and very furious. I think that Daniel was just trying to look for words to try to describe this situation. And, volcanic, phosphorus. I mean, he probably had all different things that could have come up. The king was upset, and he was so upset that he started responding irrationally with radical reactions. Here you have an individual who's looking for help, and he's turned to someone for help, and they can't give him the help he wants. So he says, fine, if you can't give me the help I want, I'll just kill you. I'm sure glad that doesn't happen to me when I'm in counselor mode. People come to my office, can you help me with such and such problem? I don't have them to help them, they'll kill me. Well, I'm glad that that didn't happen because that would be kind of a short-lived career. But in this particular case, this is what's happening. He's calling them to give him answers for the riddle of his life. They can't give it. He's so fearful, so angry, so frustrated that he responds quite radically. Now, some could say it was a pretty logical thing, get rid of all the wise men that might be problematic and give him wrong counsel. But you keep in mind, he was not thinking, find out who are the good counselors versus the bad counselors. He said, guilt by association. If you're considered a wise person in my kingdom, you're dead. This was to permeate the whole kingdom. Anyone who had the label of being a counselor or advisor would be dead. Doesn't matter what kind of counsel they gave, what their track record was or whatever. That's why they came knocking on Daniel's door. Daniel had proven himself to be a wise counselor all this time. The king had become so frustrated in not having the answers to his questions, he went that radical. It's kind of like the idea of cutting off your nose to spite your face. Folks, if we cut out all the counselors of our life and all the potential answers to our life, we end up just roving around aimlessly. That's what he was risking as a king, to just cut himself off from every access, including Daniel and his friends. He was at the point of possibly making himself onto an island away from all wisdom. And yet I see this happen sometimes in people's lives when they're searching for truth and searching for hope, and they try a few different things. They get frustrated, they get angry, they start getting radical and say, well, nothing's going to help, and they start running away and isolating themselves and grouping everyone together and saying, because I've got bad counsel here, everyone who provides any kind of counsel is bad. I will not seek counsel for that which I need. That's where King Nebuchadnezzar was. He couldn't get the answers to his questions, so he's going to cut everything off and get rid of it. That was the radical reaction to the type of things. That's sometimes the way the world struggles with answers. Individuals have gone to church and tried to find the answer, couldn't find what they wanted, and said, it doesn't work, I won't do it again. When in reality, what it was is they just went to the wrong church, didn't get the right counsel, didn't find one who had access to the supernatural God. They didn't find the ones that really taught from the Word of God. And as a result, then they cut themselves off from the hope that they could have. Nebuchadnezzar was on the verge of that. But we find that there's an individual who God had sovereignly put into his kingdom to keep him from making such a big mistake. He brought Daniel in from Jerusalem. Daniel could have been cut off at the time when he would not eat or drink of the king's delicacies. But God preserved and God worked that out. The king responded well to all that. Daniel was maintained. Now the king is potentially getting rid of, this is kind of interesting, the king is potentially getting rid of the best thing he has. But God, again, intervenes by allowing Daniel to respond in the proper way. What is the Christian source for answers? First of all, it's interesting how Daniel responds. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision to know Daniel. It's amazing how Daniel reacts to it. If this is only about 3 years, a couple of years after the time Daniel came in, and Daniel obviously was a young man when he came in, this is a young man probably still early on in his teenage years, or early 20s anyways. And here's a young man who is basically got someone knocking on his door and said, "Okay, you have, you know, so many minutes and you will die." I don't know if you let that set in or not. I've never had anybody tell that to me. Seriously. I do recall as a child, a very scary situation for me, when a friend of mine decided to take his gun, actually his dad's gun, and draw a bead down on me. And I remember the fear of thinking, what if that thing's loaded? What if it actually goes off? What if I die? And I remember the feeling that went along, the great fear that came into my heart, and the lack of composure on my part, for sure. But I think of Daniel, where they come up and say, "Okay, we're going to just round up all the wise men. We're going to round up all, you're dying. That's it, you know." And Daniel, you could imagine, he could have just freaked and said, "Well, what do you mean? You bring us all the way from Jerusalem. You make us try to make us eat us all this stuff. You put us through a 3-year program. Then you're going to kill us? What kind of logic is this?" Now, he could have just gone off the handle. He could have gone all upset. He could have said, "Now, come on. This is really, where am I anyways? This doesn't make sense." But instead, he says, "Well, give me the answers. What is going on?" You know, because obviously, this Arioch guy was pretty upset, because I'm sure it involved him too to some degree. It's going to affect his life, and so he's all upset. And he says, "Why is this so urgent? Why? What's with the king? What has happened?" I think that's a very interesting question. Sometimes we run off with fear and anger and intensity when things come up, and we fail to stop but to ask critical questions to get data to find out what actually is going on. And Daniel could have said, "Okay, let's go run, let's go hide, let's get away from this place, we're going to get killed." And it may have been Arioch, who knows, could have found favor, I'm adding in, but anything could happen, where Arioch could have thought, "You know, this is the time I can tell Daniel he can run, he can go hide, he can get away from this place, something happened." You know, I mean, that's how usually the fictional type things are, and there's always some way to get the hero to escape and things like that. I have no idea if that's what happened. But at any rate, that could have gone through Daniel's mind, "I got to get out of here." But instead, he wasn't thinking about that. He's thinking about the full picture of what God has in mind. He gets information. He gets options. Verse 16, "So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king interpretation." It's amazing. The king has just confronted all the wise men that he found to be in his inner circle, the ones that he was first concerned about. If you've got an issue that you're really concerned about, who do you ask first? You ask the ones who think that are really going to answer the question. So he got the ones that he thought was going to ask the question. Now some young guy from Jerusalem is coming up and says, "Hey, can I meet with you for a minute and give me a little time? I might be able to answer your question." What boldness and ability to seek out the options so that he might be able to help with that. And then thirdly, he says he goes and gets help. Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you're familiar more with their newer names, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Here he goes, and he gathers his friends around, tells them what the decision of the king has been, and that they have been given a little bit of time and that they can have a chance to do something. Now, let's pray. Let's pray for an answer. Let's pray that God might have an impact on this particular situation. Daniel is showing great maturity and not getting upset, but instead finding out what all the facts are. What is it that Nebuchadnezzar is really concerned about? Does he really hate wise people? Is he really against particular? Does he have a particular agenda? No, he just has a question that he can't get answered. Daniel says, well, I think we can get that answer. And he goes and he gets the options to be able to do that. Then he goes and gets some help. We may be facing individuals who have questions. They have questions and they don't know what the answers are. And they're looking to us to provide for them answers, not from a worldly perspective where it's based upon trying to just make things sound good or make them feel comfortable. They're looking for genuine answers that can help them to know how they should live in this world. And Daniel knew where the source of that was, that it was God. He went to God in prayer to find the answer. Now, folks, when we go to prayer for God, the main thing that he's encouraging to turn us to is his word. He has given us the answers. The answers are here to help us to live our daily lives. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it's all inspired. It's all given as inspiration of God. And it is all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is the word of God that is sufficient to help us live our lives. And it has the answers, but yet we're in a society that doesn't recognize this truth. So he gets some help, and he goes to goes to God and gets the answer for his particular situation. It's interesting how God answers this particular situation. Now, I want to look at a little chart to kind of transition into this, because a lot of times when we go to prayer and we are looking for answers, even when we go to the Scriptures, we're looking for answers. Somehow I missed a... how that happened. There you go. Let's not go to the chart yet. Let's go. Did we get notes in the wrong direction? Okay, let's look at the Lord's scope of answers. Lord's scope of answers, that's what you have right here. It says, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. That whole record of what God has done is found, and if you got your Bibles there, just look down in verses 20 and following, and talking about how that God has answered the prayer of Daniel and how excited he is on that prayer, and how that as he talks about what God is the one who provides wisdom and all these various things, and verse 22, he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. The Word of God tells us that it indeed is the light. And the Lord's scope of answers for Daniel, he provides the hope that, again, he is the source of that. The scope of answers goes with the king as well. But Daniel responds to the king. He says, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. And he goes on and says this, not only did the Lord's answer to the prayer involve this, the impacting of answering Daniel's prayer and how it would affect his life, he's saying this whole situation is involving the king as well. And then you go on to the next verse, he says, as for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. Verse 29, the Lord's answer involves the future as well. And so in those three different things, involves Daniel's situation, involves the king's situation, involves even the whole future. What's interesting about this is that God, who has worked for all this time, from the time of Abraham, with these chosen people, the Israelites, he has now decided to give to this unbelieving king explanation of everything that's going to happen, with implications of not only what's going to happen for that land, but what's going to happen for the future, that's still yet future for us. It's just amazing, because what he does is he displays what the dream is. We don't have time to unfold all this, but this statue that that King Nebuchadnezzar saw had a head of iron, a head of gold, a chest of silver, a belly of and thigh of bronze, and had legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. And that what is being described here, and Daniel explains that these talk about new kingdoms that are coming up. He's talking about the head of gold is going to be Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and then the Medo-Persians are going to come in, and then the Greeks are going to take over, and Rome is going to take over. And then this last one here is going to talk about a future kingdom that's not yet come. It's going to be a mingling of the iron and the clay. And this, for those of you that are in the prophetical type of studies, is talking about what the future new world kingdom is going to want to be, the you know, motivated by the Antichrist is going to come. All this is given to King Nebuchadnezzar to see that God is planning out what's going to happen in the Gentile world. And he's using a Jewish man to intercede and give answers to that. So the scope of God's answer is amazing, because it not only impacts one of his followers, it impacts the authority of his followers, plus all of the known world and going into the future. That rock, by the way, is the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes and set up his kingdom, and that makes the final kingdom, etc. But that's the revelation of that. And our purpose here was not to give all the details in regard to that. That's a good prophetic series. But give you an idea, this is what he had dreamed about, was this great statue, caused him fear, caused him anger, anxiety, and reaction. Daniel gives him the answer. Now let's go to the chart I was talking about. Thank you for your patience with me. But the chart is talking about this fact that so many times we look at world from our world. Well, this is my world. This is my era. This is my land. This is what takes place in my space. And I'm so concerned about this particular area, and I'm looking for God to give me answers in these areas. There's nothing wrong with looking for answers in these areas, but sometimes we get confused because God's answer permeates these particular areas, because sometimes God is thinking about something other than just my world. You ever thought of that? You ever thought that God might have his mind on something other than just your world, your era, your land? The next ring talks about another area. It's a little closer to us, might be my era, but another land. Right now, we're more sensitive to other areas of land than maybe previous generations, because of the access of being able to see and know and be aware of the things that are going on. When bad weather has hit and terrific tragedy has hit other lands, we're now aware of it, and our hearts are more concerned about those particular areas. And we can see how God is working in those areas. Now, another ring talks about maybe my land, but another era. Whether it's the history or the future, what's going on in my area here, and realizing that God impacted my history of where I am right now, those people who are my ancestors, and that God will impact those who come off behind me in my particular area. But it might be a different era. But then there's also the other idea that there's another era and another land. So there's another part of this thing that doesn't touch my era, doesn't touch my land, and it's so far, far removed from me and my world. Look how far out it is. But you know what? For God, he is all places, so everything is his land. He is eternal, so everything is his era. So when he answers and he responds and he impacts our lives, it involves all these areas. So the arrows will go out, not only from ours, but all through the different areas. And it's important for us, as we're in our prayer life and seeking God's answers and seeking God's will, to recognize that it isn't all about us. It isn't all about our particular... Daniel could have gotten all caught up in just thinking, it's all about me and my friends. How can we get out of this thing? But God used him in a great way to be able to display the glory of God in such a way that that God's answer was much more impacting than just his world, and just goes out into all the various areas. Let's just look at, in summary, what God's answer entailed as far as response from the king. These verses were highlighted earlier on in our service, but the king is the true God. So the king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." The gauntlet had been set down for all the wise men that were in his initial council. All of them were given the opportunity. Tell me what the dream is. Tell me what the answer is. They said, no man can answer that. No king has ever asked such a thing. It is a very difficult thing. Only the gods would know, and we don't have access to them. And yet now, at the end of the story, we have a king who undoubtedly followed those other gods to say, your God is the God of gods. Because he could reveal the secret. Folks, that is so true today. It may not be over dreams that someone has overnight, but the dreams and ambitions that people have to have a full life, a life that is full of hope and eternity, is available because there is a God who is a God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That he has come to give us hope. So he's come to give us life, eternal life, and give us abundant life. And those are the answers that God has provided that not only permeates our life, our time, but also the lives of others, that we might be willing to share that truth with other individuals, for truly God is indeed the God of God. And we must be convinced of that. Practically speaking, are we convinced that we have the best life? Are we so excited about our relationship with Jesus Christ that we have the best life? Is there any better way to go? Is there any better way to go than being committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there any better way to go than to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? I guess I encourage you, if there is, you should do it. But I don't believe there is. I don't believe there's any better way to go than to immerse ourselves in following the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the true God. He is the one who has the answers. And if we are convinced of that, and we are motivated by that, we will have answers for other people as well. King promotes Daniel in verse 48. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. God used this situation to get Daniel where he wanted him. That's basically what it was. Many times we could look at that and say, well, look, God rewarded Daniel for being faithful. Well, certainly it could have been that. But what if he didn't exalt him? Would he still have been rewarding Daniel for being faithful? Certainly. I believe God, being a sovereign God, had a reason for Nebuchadnezzar to have his dream at that particular time. He had a reason for Daniel to be where he is right then. And he was just moving things around where he wanted. He wanted Daniel to be in the position where he is so that he could have an impact on the Gentile world at that particular time. And he used this gravity. You have no idea what God is doing to move you around so that you can be positioned, so that you can have an impact in other people's lives. I was at a pastor's fellowship not too long ago and listening to one of the pastors share as they were trying to figure out, they have a theme in their church of how they're going to reach out and to find new areas to serve God. And they were thinking as a church. And one of the men came up to the pastor and said, I found out where my is, and the pastor didn't even think about people finding their new areas. The guy said, I just got a new job, and I got a whole new area of ministry opportunities to where God could use me. And looking from the perspective of what kind of doors is God opening for me? What kind of doors are open there that I might be willing to be used of him? I don't know if there's ever Daniel's ambition to be where he ended up. You know, a few years before that, I'm sure his ambition was to stay with his family and enjoy all these type of things. He'd been pulled away from his own family, taken into a strange world, put up with all these new things. And now the next thing he knows, he's head of everything in there. Brings his, as you read the text, he brings his friends up with him. And God puts him in the position where he wants to be. Because when God is in the business of answering questions, he wants to make sure he gets people that have the answers in the places where he wants them to be. And so as we look at how God might use us in a world that's struggling for answers, in a world that responds in such understandably strange ways to the issues of life, we should be ones who stand strong and deal with those. The world struggles for answers. The world might be dismayed, but Christians prayed, and the Lord displayed. And may that be the pattern for us as well.
when we have a dismayed world around us, we'll pray and seek answers from the Word of God and see how God displays His answer for the life of those individuals that might impact their world. Father, we thank You again for the privilege of being able to look at Daniel. What a man who is starting out in these early chapters as a young man who is just showing himself to be so mature. And what joy it will be as we read in Juan and find out that he stays and maintains. And he doesn't give up on that same kind of intensity of following You and dependence upon You. Father, I pray that we might seek You for answers. Lord, I pray for anyone here that is struggling with answers to their question as what hope they might have. That they might put their faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that He died on the cross for their sins. That they might know their eternal life because of that faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, maybe there's some who are struggling with some other areas of their life. They just feel like that they're on the wrong end. There's some very difficult times right now. But You allow them to be drawn unto You, that they will be encouraged to know that You're a loving God. Your circles of influence are so much greater than ours. You see not only what is going on now, You see what's going on before, You see what's coming up in the future. Father, we have a sovereign God. We have an eternal God. We have an ever-present God. A loving God. And how that ought to encourage us to seek You for answers. Father, I thank You for the privilege of sharing Your word. Use me as Your vessel. I pray in Jesus' name.